The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Julia, you got the right spot. You got the right idea to move around a little bit, to come in front. Come on up over here. Luna, come here. Jesse, come on up here. There you go. You want to sit right here? Thank you. Thank you. I brought a friend.
Why is his head really good, but then his body is?
Because his head is carved out of wood, and his body is made out of fabric. So it's a puppet. It's not a real prophet. I know, they're different fabrics. They're different fabric.
So that you can tell which is.
This came from Germany, and this is a prophet. And today's prophet is Jeremiah. I like prophets because they tell out what God wants the people to hear. And they usually tell it by giving examples. This prophet today is Jeremiah. Probably not this old. Jeremiah was a young prophet. This guy looks kind of old. But he's the only prophet I have, so we're calling him Jeremiah, even though he's got a long old beard. So Jeremiah today, in the story that you'll hear at Sunday school, and the story that we will hear as our first reading. The prophet Jeremiah says, we are like trees planted near running water. Or we are like a scraggly bush planted in the desert. Now, which do you think is going to grow better? The tree by the water or the bush in the desert?
The
tree by the water. And the prophet Jeremiah shouts out to the people, you got a choice. You can be like the tree, which means turning to God, or you can be like the shrub, which means trying to take care of yourself and not thinking about other people or thinking about God. The prophet says, you have a choice. But here's the thing. Trees by the water, they put down roots, so they're growing down, and they grow up, and they're growing up. Desert shrubs just don't grow very deep roots, and they don't grow very big. So if we are connected to God, we're going to grow deep and tall, deep and strong. Our faith is going to be nourished if we let God be in control of our lives. So the prophet shouts out, be like trees. Don't be like the shrub. Be like trees planted near running water. So off to Sunday school to hear more about that story.
Jesus was a little children, all the children of the world. Red, green, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in your sight. Jesus was a little children of the world.
A reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 1 responsively. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the ways of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are, of all people, most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came down and stood with them on a level place, and a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what your ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you will receive your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Whenever I sit with loved ones and pray with them at the time when death is near, I find myself praying for the people who are standing around the bed as much as for the one in the bed. Having experienced the death of loved ones myself, I know some of the emotions and the feelings that come at this time. Your life is suddenly and completely different. And no matter how ready you are for the death of a loved one, you're not ready. Your world has changed, and yet the rest of the world goes on unchanged, as if nothing has happened. I remember riding to the cemetery in South Dakota with my husband's remains in an urn on my lap, and I looked out the window of the car and saw other cars and people next to us. And this kind of jarring thought came to me. Everybody else is just going about their day. My world has been turned upside down, is completely changed, will never be the same again. And these people act as if nothing has happened. They're just going about their day. They don't know. Isn't it something? I couldn't quite fathom how all of us, the people in my car and the people in the other cars, how all of us could exist in this same time, in this same place, when our experiences of that day were so different. In the years since then, I have come to see this awareness as a gift, especially when I sit with others in their grief. Because it's not just the grief of the death of a loved one. We know that each person is carrying their own griefs, but also their own fears and worries, their anxieties and guilt. But sometimes it feels like we're separate from all of those others, that each person is in their own silo, their own world of woe. It's like the people of God, not together, but come apart. Not the church, but silos. In Luke's gospel, before Jesus preaches the Beatitudes, he comes down from the mountain with his disciples and stands on a level place. This is not the Sermon on the Mount, as Matthew has it. This is the Sermon on the Plain, on the level place. It's a different place from Matthew's location. And place really matters here. Jesus comes and stands in the midst of those who have come to be healed, those who are troubled. He comes to a level place to bring the kingdom of God to all those who are gathered. He comes to that level place. So there's no space in between those who suffer and those who rejoice. We all receive the gift from the one who brings God's kingdom. And we're receiving that gift, that blessing, in this level spot, in the same place. When Jesus comes to that level place, we find ourselves leveled out. No longer do we grieve alone, or stress alone, or worry alone. No longer do we celebrate alone or rejoice alone. When Jesus comes to that level place, he comes to level us with God's kingdom and level us with one another. And this is both a comfort and a challenge. By overturning the world's ideas and expressions of strength. The lowly are lifted up and those others are bowed down. Jesus levels us out. Nadia Bowles Weber, a Lutheran writer and pastor, says, Jesus was God's beatitude, God's blessing to the weak in the world, the world that admires only the strong. Jesus was God's beatitude. Jesus physically, by being on this level spot, and verbally, levels us with the beatitudes. And in this leveling out, our lives are never the same. We are not alone in our grief. We're not alone in our experiences, and our lives will never be the same. More important than that, we cannot leave others alone in theirs, in their experiences, in their grief, in their worries. When we look out of the window of our own suffering and we feel that we're all alone, Jesus promises us that we are never forgotten by Him, nor do we live this life apart from each other. As the kingdom of God comes to us directly through Jesus, we are bound to one another in His grace. We are leveled out and loved. We are one with God and with one another. In this gospel, in a very overt way, Jesus says, I'm going to level with you. He looks us right in the eye and tells the truth. He tells us this reality. God's kingdom is upside down. Jesus wants us to know the truth of God's kingdom, and He leaves it up to us to do something about it. The idea is if we can see, if we can really see who it is that God considers blessed, then at least we will know the path to blessedness. At least we will know the truth of this upside down kingdom. These beatitudes are a glimpse into the heart and the mind of God. They don't tell us the way that the world works. We already know how the world works. It certainly isn't the poor and the hungry who get the blessings of this world. Jesus is flipping the tables, shaking us loose from our assumptions and telling the truth of God's bias for the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the excluded ones. These are the ones, Jesus says, who are blessed by God. Jesus preaches these beatitudes, and in Luke's gospel, we get the woes that go with them. And we know a little better who God is. Jesus tells us this to give us more light. And now what we do with that is up to us. These are not a list of moral laws. What we're offered here is a vision of the upside-down kingdom of God, a new vision for our world and our lives. The point is not that we must obey a rule that says be poor, be hungry, be persecuted, and weep. The point is that in the light of these blessings and woes, we have a glimpse of the mind of God. The reading of these blessings and woes give us an opportunity to think about our material possessions. God blesses us all, and God's grace is poured out for the rich and the poor. And we pray for the grace to more actively participate in God's upside-down kingdom of generosity. We pray to understand the difference between God's abundance and our excess. Let me say that line again. The difference between God's abundance and our excess. Our consumer culture tells us that we are just one purchase away from great happiness. I love watching commercials because I didn't know I needed all that stuff. One purchase from happiness. In God's kingdom, the message is that blessings are even for the poorest, the most powerless among us. If God's preferential option for the poor makes us uncomfortable, well, maybe that's good. It may move us to prayer and to action on behalf of those who are the blessed ones in God's upside-down kingdom. Jesus levels with us in the Beatitudes, and in this leveling out, our lives must never be the same. We are not alone in our grief. We're not alone in our experiences and our needs, and we cannot leave others alone in theirs either. We are the blessed, the children of God, together in this upside-down kingdom. Amen.